Hey everybody, welcome to Snapcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Jerry.
And that's it. And this week, we're changing up a little bit. We're not doing a news or, you know, a second segment or anything like that. We are doing spoiler talk. And I guess not so much spoiler, we've already done that, but like a set review. What we think of cards, now that we've played limited, we played pre-releases. You know, what do you think? Initial indications of cards and things like that. So let's get started here. White Mythic, Exquisite Archangel. 5/2 white for a creature angel. It's a 5/5 flyer. And if you lose the game, instead exile Exquisite Archangel and your life total becomes equal to your starting life total.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was just going to say it's an interesting new play on kind of a Platinum Angel effect. What do you think, Jerry?
Same thing. That's where I was going with it. An interesting play on the Platinum Angel effect. Weirdly enough, it's another card just like Plat Angel that does combo with Ad Nauseam. It probably won't see play in that deck, though.
True. That's a pretty high drop for that. I actually forgot this card existed until somebody played it against me in a game of Limited, and I was like, oh, well, that wins this game.
Yeah, I do see that this is a Limited bomb. You pick this, you get this every time in draft, and you play it every time in sealed if you can push white.
Yep, and then other than that, I don't think it's going to see play anywhere.
Not me neither.
All right, next up, we got a rare here. SRAM, Senior Edificer. A colorless and a white for a 2/2 legendary creature, Dwarf Advisor. Whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle spell, draw a card. This card is sweet. It's definitely brought some spark and conversation back to Cheerios in Modern.
Absolutely. With the Cheerios list, they were reliant so heavily on Spoils of the Vault and hitting their copy of Pure Steel Paladin from Scars of Mirrodin. But now we have another 4 copies of that card in that deck at the same converted mana cost. So I think that pushes the deck into possible Tier 1, 5, Tier 1 territory.
Yeah. The only thing that SRAM doesn't hit that Pure Steel hits is like Mox Opal.
True. It does not hit that, but I don't think they care so much about that. You really just use the Mox to cast Retract and then continue doing your shenanigans.
Right, but I mean, it could be relevant if you're sitting on an Opal heavy hand and a SRAM. You're like, oh, I can't draw through my deck like I want to.
Yep, that's a bad hand. That'll cause some awkward mulligans or awkward draw situations.
Yep. What do you think about Standard? You think this can see some play?
So, I've been working more on the mono blue storm list. However, a white blue storm list is not out of the question. I mean, if we're adding white to the deck, we get Repel the Abominable back, which buys us even more time with defending against things. And if Repel the Abominable and SRAM are the only white creatures, then all we have to use is Prophetic Prism and Prairie Stream to produce our white. There are 8 zero mana equipment spells. It just awkwardly doesn't work with Ornithopter, so it's a bit of a non-bow there. But besides that, it's a strong possibility it works in that deck.
Yeah, for sure. It is definitely a lot of potential there. I think the two body is going to be what's most relevant there. It depends how prevalent is Shock, you know, what's their removal in the format and things like that. Is Fatal Push actually being played in Standard? So we'll see if their removal's there for him or not.
Absolutely.
And going with him is Expertise. Sir Am's Expertise. 2 colorless, 2 white, sorcery. Create 3/1/1 colorless servo artifact creature tokens. And then it's in the expertise cycle, so it has it. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. This card is strong, as are all the expertise.
Very strong.
The big one that I've seen so far is green-white tokens is messing around with this. Mostly because, I mean, they will make creatures anyway, and then the relevant 3 drops that they can cast with it are things like Nissa, Oath of Ajani to put counters on the creatures they just put in, or even a Collective Effort, because they can use the tokens to escalate Collective Effort and get all the modes out of it.
Wow, that's powerful. In comparison to all the other expertises, this one seems to have the most cards it wants to use post-casting it.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to note about it, and this is I could be wrong on this, but Improvise is worded very weirdly. where Improvise says your artifacts can help you cast a spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for one. So if I'm not mistaken, when you cast Sram's Expertise and resolve it with the three artifact duders, you can use them to pay Improvise costs on the free spell you cast. Alex, am I right about that?
You are correct. So the big ones to take away from this are Battle at the Bridge. So you can make it for three, or the War of Invention, which there's actually this really cute thing you can do with War of Invention, where, because then you're tutoring for three, because you tap the three, so X is three, so you can go get something like, I don't know, Chief of the Foundry.
Hey-o! Wing, 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 wing.
So you can play kind of an artifact aggro deck that way.
Hey, look at us doing unfair things with unfair magic cards.
Yeah. You know.
As for modern, I'm going to err on the side of no. Four mana is too high.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe black-white tokens might try it. Because it lets you cast like Bitter Blossom or a Spectral Procession.
No, wait, hold on. It does not let you cast Spectral Procession because Spectral Procession's converted mana is six.
You're right. So. Yeah, all right, then Lingering Souls, but no, whatever.
Oh, you cast Lingering Souls, who cares? Good enough.
Yeah, so maybe that deck can try it. I don't know. I'm not an expert on that deck, so.
I don't think anyone is. It's why you never see it in top eights.
I mean, it got new toys, too, with Fatal Push, like, and Smuggler's Copter to help Bitter Blossom.
Yeah, it did, definitely.
But maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. Moving down, we got Solemn Recruit. It's one colorless and two white for a 2/2 creature dwarf warrior with double strike and revolt. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Namita, this is great. I had one in my pool. It's a double striker that gets bigger. It reminds me a lot of Fabled Hero, just with a different way to get counters on it.
Yeah, I believe this is obviously a easy limited pick. As far as standard is concerned, this type of card gets its effect if there are good combat tricks, like back when God's Willing was standard legal. So I don't think it quite gets there in standard.
No, and at the end of your turn is a very awkward time to be putting counters and stuff on.
That's true, too. Like, this could have been whenever... Like, maybe it shouldn't have been just straight revolt. Like, maybe it could have been worded where it says... Hey, whenever a permanent leaves the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And I feel like it might have said that at one time, but that might have been too good.
Right. Yeah, especially with the card right below it here, an Aether Geode Miner. One colorless and a white for a 3/1 creature dwarf scout. Whenever it attacks, you get 2 energy, and you can pay 2 energy and exile it, and then it comes back under your owner's control. New Norin. I actually had these two. I had Geode Miner and Solemn Recruit in limited, and that was pretty hilarious when I got the two of them going.
Oh, that's just cheesy. That's just cheesy.
Yeah.
I mean,
Other than that, it's a Norn the Wary. So if there's, you know, revolt triggers or enter the battlefield triggers, you know, something really wants them, this is a great enabler for those decks.
It's also great that it doesn't have to do combat damage to get the energy. Like, it just has to attack. That's a sweet.
Right.
That's sweet too. Like it alongside like Cub, the Long Tusk Cub from the first set Kaladesh. Like you set up your triggers in a way to where the Geode Miner resolves off the top to get the 2 energy to feed the Cub. So I like the card. Strong and limited. Maybe in standard. It is 3 power for 2 mana, but it is 1 toughness. So 3/1s.
I mean,
have been
it does dodge
there.
Removal pretty nice if you have energy laying around, and it gets out of combat if you don't like the way things block. But
true.
Once again, I think it's going to depend how much is revolt a mechanic, or how much is, you know, something else having it enter the battlefield effect.
Absolutely. Agreed.
So then we got Call for Unity. 3 colorless, 2 white, an enchantment with revolt. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, put a unity counter on Call for Unity. Creatures you control get +1/+1 for each unity counter on Call for Unity. Speaking of things needing revolt triggers, but this is a 5 drop, so I'm thinking Commander is where this one goes.
Man, I don't even know if, like, This is a 5-mana Glorious Anthem that takes, like, a Revolt trigger to make it work. Like, had this been 4, I think it would have been fine, but at 5, it just, it fills an awkward place. Like, it would feel better if, like, because this costing 5 and, like, with 5-mana sweepers in the format, like, if you just cast this, if your opponent casts a sweeper before you can cast this to get any reward out of it, it just feels bad.
Yeah, also they can kill things in response to, like, it being cast, so you don't get the revolt trigger when it resolves. And then, like, also it's another beginning of instep, which is a very weird time to pump your team.
Yeah, like, it has, like, everything bad you could have done with the revolt trigger on this card and a Glorious Anthem effect, you went and did it with this card. Like, I don't even know if you play this in limited.
No, actually, and, like, I don't like that there's two different kinds of revolt. There's the revolt at the instep and revolt on enter the battlefield, because everything I've seen so far, the revolt on enter the battlefield is highly playable and very good, but all the revolt at instep is just bad.
Yeah, very bad. Most of it's just pretty terrible, awkwardly timed.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they kind of missed that.
Yeah, I feel like this card could also have just been, like, if it had said when something dies, or rather, like, when something dies or when leaves the battlefield, I feel like if it just happened immediately, that might be broken.
Well, I think they could have worded it in that case, like, because they only want it to happen once, which is why they have it as a trigger. So they could just say once per turn when the first thing leaves the battlefield,
yeah,
get a counter.
That would have been fine, too. I'd have been completely behind that.
Yeah, lets you pump at instant speed. It's not broken because you can't just chain them. You know, you can't just, I'll sack these Scions and get 3 counters on this. No, it's not broken. And then it works the way the player wants it to. But once again, probably EDH is where that'll see anything.
Agreed.
But
most likely
pretty
EDH.
Bulk rare on that one.
Bulky is bulk.
Yep. And we got Consulate Crackdown. 3 colorless, 2 white for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, exile all artifacts that opponent controls until it leaves the battlefield. So it kind of fills this weird thing where it's kind of Quarantine Field, kind of O-Ring, but, like, worse than both, because it's only artifacts. I don't know. It's a really weird card.
If there's an artifact deck in Standard with 20-plus artifacts in it, this card will see sideboard play. This is more Commander to me. Because, you know, there's the Brea decks, the Shroom decks, with 70 or so artifacts. This card is super strong against them. So, definitely a Commander staple for someone who wants to hate the artifact deck.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I guess if Metalwork Colossus is just the be-all, end-all deck, this could see sideboard play, but even then.
Yep, that'd be the artifact deck with 20 artifacts. I think you're right on that.
Even then, there's other ways to beat that deck, so.
Yes. Like, let your opponent just play all 4 of them and then deck and stone him on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. The bulkiest of bulk. Moving on. Is that it for white?
That is it for white rares. Yeah. We are on to blues.
Oh, man. Well, let's start with this blue mythic then.
Yeah.
Mechanized Production. 2 colorless, 2 blue, enchantment aura, enchant artifact you control. At the beginning of your upkeep, create a token of that's a copy of enchanted artifact. Then if you control 8 or more artifacts with the same name as one another, you win the game.
Woot, woot.
Cheese some clues, here we go.
Clues the deck. Yeah. An important thing to note with this card, the way it's worded, it isn't the enchanted artifact that they care about. If you control, like, if you were to put this on, say, your Tireless Tracker and then spit clues, if you have 8 or more clues, you still win the game.
It has to enchant artifact.
If you enchant an artifact, I was trying to get the point across. Enchant something that's not a clue and you still have 8 clues, you still win.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Enchant artifacts. Can't enchant him unless you liquid metal coating him or something like that. I don't know.
Well, then it'll fall off as soon as he's not an artifact. Yeah. But, I mean, there are certain creatures. Like, it's not non-artifact creature, or artifact non-creature. It is, you can't enchant artifact creatures, so you could win with Ornithopters.
There you go. Win with 8-0-2s. Sounds like a great format we're in right now.
Right.
honestly, though, as far as Constructed is concerned, I don't know. I've seen people trying to make some Bant tokens lists, but I'm not buying into those. I'm not 100% behind them. I'm behind the fact that they're beating people to death. I think this card is just cute in that list.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has some scary potential, especially because, what's his name? The guy who gives Hexproof from the last, Padim, is still... So, like, there's a chance you can just protect whatever, because all the artifact removal besides Consulate Crackdown, which is not going to see play, is targeted. So if you're just running Padim, then you're, you know, you can protect this combo, if you will.
Oh, well, heck, might as well put this in Aetherflux, see if I can make it happen.
Just make 8 reservoirs? That would kill them anyway.
I know. Be a great way to win, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it'll see play. I mean, once again, you can put it on artifact creatures. There are putting this on Chief of the Foundries can get scary too, you know.
That can get obnoxious, yeah. You're more than likely going to beat them to death at that point, but that's absolutely acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. Or put it on the new 2-drop, so that way every copy enters with a +1/+1 counter.
Ooh.
And then more and more counters.
That's super good. I like that.
I mean, I don't think it's super good. It's a thing you can do.
I know. I like this card as a pet card. That's fun, but I'll be real. I don't think it's going to be anything. I don't even think it's going to be anything in Commander. That's how far I think this card could go, and I don't think it's good there either.
Nah, it takes too long to set up.
Yep.
If it's beginning of each upkeep, it'd be different.
that would probably be
too good.
That'd be shenanigans. Now we'd be talking constructed playability.
Yeah. All right, so pretty bulky on that one too.
Yeah.
Then we got the legendary blue creature, Baral, Chief of Compliance. 1 and a blue for a 1/3 legendary creature, human wizard. Instant sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less, and whatever spell or ability you control counters a spell, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. It's got a lot going for it. It's a Goblin Electromancer with less taxing mana, 3 butts good, and loot on counter is what blue mages want to do. Is it good enough for standard?
Well, the last time the effects saw this, like effects like this in standard existed, it was Goblin Electromancer, which saw a tiny bit of play. It didn't really hit home. But if we go back far enough, there was the... back then it was called the Red Blue Black Familiars deck, where they were making all their blue spells cheaper off of the black familiar creature, which made blue and red spells cost 1 less. And this has loot attached to it. This is really good. I think this has a place in standard.
I'm actually surprised I didn't see anything about this, because like last format, or maybe I guess before Kaladesh, people were trying to play Bringing the Jar Rise from the Tide, and this guy's really good with Rise from the Tide. Like, you just get to play a bunch of counter spells, counter some stuff, loot, put a bunch of instant sorceries in the graveyard, you know, make them cheap, and then rise.
Yeah.
So
blue X do nothing seems very possible with this card.
Yeah, I said, I'm surprised I didn't see, because the brain in the Jar Rise from the Tide deck was super popular in Modo because it was cheap. So that's why I'm surprised those players didn't come back and say, "Hey, we got a new toy."
Maybe they're just keeping it a secret, waiting for people to
say
things.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had the Pro Tour yet, so who knows what'll happen there.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, this guy making Cathartic Reunion cost 1 red in a Rise deck seems fine.
Ah, that's sweet. That's ridiculous. No more.
Yeah.
No more.
So it's got potential. Man, if Sphinx's Tutelage was still around, I might play that deck.
Hey, wizards, stop with cost reduction. Just stop it, please.
Yeah. Now, this and Tutelage would be besties, actually. There you go, Frontier. Whoever plays that format. Or bust out the Tutelage again with this knucklehead.
Here you go, Japan. Here you go.
Yeah. And then with him, we have his expertise. Baral's expertise, 3 and a colorless, 2 blue, sorcery. Return up to 3 target artifacts and/or creatures to their owner hand. You may cast a card with a converted mana cost 4 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. This card's pretty solid.
Yes, it is. It's got a lot going for it. As you've seen in my blue storm list for standard, this card has two options for it. One, the much-needed option of where you bounce three of your opponent's creatures, and you get the big tempo swing of just dropping Aetherflux Reservoir on this. The other part that works really well with this is that it can act as a mediocre paradoxical outcome, returning three of your zero-drop artifacts back, and then just continue jamming more spells. As far as outside of that deck, this is an evacuation effect in blue, which evacuation did see some play. Granted, it was an instant instead of a sorcery, and it hit everything, but you get a free cast, and who knows what the free cast will be with this card. I don't think there's any existing standard deck where this just fits right into it.
Right, I agree. It might even be fine for like a one or two of in a control deck that wants to just do this, get all your opponent's creatures off the board, and then play like a Dovin Bond for free and start taking over the board.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, so there's definitely options there. I actually do like that card. I think it can definitely be constructed playable. Modern, again, too slow, 5-drop. Like, Cryptic Command, this is not.
Nope.
Standard, I expected to see play.
Same here. I expect it, along with the rest of its cycle, to see something.
Yeah. Then we got Aethertide Whale. Four colors, two blue, creature whale. It's a 6/4 flyer, because whales fly in Kaladesh.
Yeah.
They're sky whales, which is actually super sweet. But when it enters the battlefield, you get 6 energy?
That is 6 energy.
Yeah, I really hate the just having energy in the card text like that. Anyway, then you can pay 4 energy and return it to its hand, to your owner's hand. So it dodges removal. It's a big flyer, and it nets energy. Great and limited. Play this every time.
Matter of fact, this does have a constructed application. In the Aetherworks Marvel lists, I like to cheat in creatures. Say you whiff on your Ulamog and you hit this, just gives you 6 energy right back.
It's true. That's kind of another spin, because a lot of times they wait and Marvel on their turn to try to get the Ulamog to like blow out 2 attackers and block and stuff. So it's not unreasonable to do it, you know, on their turn, hit this. It blocks anyway to save you some damage, then on your turn, spin again,
exactly.
But granted, that deck lost a lot of power.
Yes, so. It did. But beyond that, limited card, great there, like you said.
Yep. Maybe standard playable, probably bulk.
Probably bulk. I'll believe that.
And then we got Whir of Invention, a card I'm actually really excited about.
Same.
X and 3 blue, instant, improvise. For those of you don't refresh you here, improvise says your artifacts can help cast a spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for 1 in the X. And then search your library for an artifact card with current mana cost X or less, put it into the battlefield, shuffle your library.
Boy, oh boy.
I think this card can be played anywhere.
Yeah, I think it can be played in every single format.
Yeah. We were talking about it the other night. If we change Lantern's mana base in Modern to be more Sultai, and we run this card. Just so that way, like, we're gonna have, like, we can take a turn off milling them to just make sure we get a bridge in play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already, like, with the Thopter Sword version of the list, I'm already into Sultai, so this just fits right into it.
Yeah, I'm still on the Thopter Sword version, I'm sorry.
I know, but what's even sweeter is that it finds the other half of the combo that you don't already have. Like, if you Ghoul Caller's Bell and you lost your...
True.
You put your Sword of the Meek in the yard, this finds the other half of it. It gives me the incentive to continue playing that version.
I mean, honestly, that could just help with, you know, Thopter Sword in general.
Yeah. Even, not just Thopter Sword, but Eggs. You know, 3 blue mana finds you... 3 blue mana is going to get you a Lotus Bloom on the battlefield. That's great.
True. Yep.
In Vintage, there's a real possibility that Shops just adds a couple blue, a bunch of blue sources, and then just says, hey, look, I'm going to get whatever I want.
Hey, now that Lodestone Golem's restricted, let me tutor it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to grab it because I can.
Yeah.
Card's great. And even in Standard, like, I considered playing two of this in the Blue Storm list at one point. Still kind of hard trying to find a spot for it, but I think there is. Like, you know, paying three, tapping your four artifacts that you used the previous turn to improvise with your reverse engineer to find Reservoir is just insane.
Yeah. No, definitely. And, like, I know people are already messing around with, like, Blue Beck Improvise as a standard deck with, you know, Tezzeret and stuff, just kind of playing a more controlling route. And this can just tutor you up, whatever you need. And like, man, like, if there's a deck that can just, like, tutor up Sky Slaver, that seems fine.
That's great. Nice deck.
Yeah, tutor this up, kill a creature. It's probably going to beat face now. Like,
hey, you're not making it through this game.
Yeah. No, there's definitely any kind of tutor, especially when it puts it into play and at instant speed, there's a lot of potential for that card to see play.
Yes, a ton of potential. Court of Calling, sees play in Modern. There's no reason why this shouldn't see any type of play.
I mean, it is blue Court of Calling,
yep.
Straight up.
Blue Cord.
Next up, we got Quicksmith Spy. Three colorless and a blue for a 2/3 creature human artificer. When Quicksmith Spy enters the battlefield, target artifact you control gains tap, draw a card for as long as you control Quicksmith Spy. I'm just not sold on this card. I don't think it's enough at 4.
Same here. It kind of falls in the same vein as if it does see constructed play. It follows the same path as Your Mage back from one of the MX core sets, where they were using it in control mirrors to draw cards, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't see this seeing play anywhere else. In Limited, this is a very good effect if it stays alive long enough to continue to draw you cards.
True. But a 2/3 body is pretty small, even in Limited.
Yes, in this Limited format, it's a small body. It's not where you want to be.
Yep. Pretty bulky. And we got Disallow. One colorless, two blue, instant, counter target, spell activated ability, trigger ability, mana abilities can't be targeted.
So this is the most powerful blue one counter spell ever printed, I think. It will see. Go ahead.
You're probably right. I still hold out on Dissolve because I like to scry, and that was actually played in that standard.
Yes. I think this brings back control. I mean, 3-mana counter magic seems really bad when powerful creatures are at the 3/4-mana spot. So we'll see how far that goes. But, you know, now we don't have to worry about, you know, we thought we were going to be countering Emrakul's trigger. We're not doing that anymore. So I don't know if this is actually better than Void Shatter, because exiling spells is relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit less so now. Like, Emrakul is the big one you wanted to exile. And the other ones were things like Ishkana and Green Black Delirium, but Emrakul is really what's holding that deck up, so I don't know if that deck's even going to see much play after.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, just don't know anymore. Not with that deck. I don't know how good the card's going to be now with the bannings and such.
Yeah, also this card just makes Marvel's life real rough.
Yes, it does. 3-mana... spell countering a 4-mana spell is very relevant, and it even hits, you know, the activation, which is great. Very good.
Yeah, if you draw the turn late to counter it, you're like, no, oh wait, nope, still good,
gotcha.
yeah. All right, that's it for blue. Moving on to black.
Yeah,
got the Mythic Herald of Anguish. 5/2 black for a creature demon, 5/5 flyer with improvise. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent, discards a card. And you can play one a black, sack an artifact, target creature gets -2/-2. This card is definitely a payoff for running artifacts.
Yes, this makes a very good impression of Tombstalker, if not better.
I honestly think it's closer... to more like Archfiend of Depravity, in my opinion. Like, a 5/5 flyer that has an effect at the instep.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's a better, that's actually a better comparison.
Yeah. I mean, making your opponent discard is okay. And once again, it's another awkward one where it's your instep, so you can't get their draw.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, at least it keeps them down a card, which is fine. And it does have a removal on it, on itself. You know, sacking artifact, -2/-2 something, can actually make combat a nightmare for most people.
Yeah. I know this was like one of the big reasons people were trying to build the blue-black improvised deck in Standard. I just don't know if it's a good enough reason.
Yeah, I don't know if that deck has mostly, a good card pool.
Well, not that. I think it does. I think if Demon of Dark Schemes isn't good enough, I don't see where this is much better.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, it can be Tombstalker. You can cast it for 2 black, but you're not doing it as quick as Tombstalker. You're not going to turn 2 or turn 3 this. Like, it's still going to be turn 5 or so. You're going to get it on discount, yes, but I don't think the discount is enough.
Nah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The discount isn't quite there. This is not, but still a powerful card. Unlimited, you take this every time.
True.
It incentivizes you to put a few more artifacts in your list, but besides that, snap pick. Even at 7-mana 5/5 flyer with that ability attached to it, without the activated, just the trigger alone and it flying is good enough to play in limited.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, limited bomb, standard. I know people are hyped for it. I'm not, and it's not going to see play anywhere else.
Yeah, you're in that's a different group of people. I'm not in that group.
Yep. Yahini, Undying Partisan. 2 colorless, 1 black. Legendary creature, Aetherborn Vampire. So it's 2/2 with haste. Whenever creature an opponent controls dies, put a +1/+1 counter on it, and then sacrifice another creature. Yahini gains indestructible until end of turn. I actually just now realized this is a vampire.
You just realized which it's a vampire?
Yeah, which is a relevant typing from, you know, Innistrad.
Yeah. It gives another, well, I wouldn't say lord. This isn't quite a lord, but...
I mean, it's a hasty creature that gets bigger and is hard to kill.
Yeah, and it's a very unique take on Nantucko Husk.
True.
You don't get the big fatness that Husk gets, but indestructible is very hard to deal with. And we still do have Cryptolith Rites and the whole crew, with the exception of Reflector Mage. If we have another payoff card somewhere in the format that helps with that list, could come back. This could also be the card that gives vampires the kick it needed.
Yeah.
As far as limited is, I have experience in this one. This was in my limited pool. I was red black aggro, and I got him first pack in my sealed pool. And this was a very good card. A lot of people did not know it had haste. A lot of people were just making bad blocks against it because of combat tricks and such that I had to make it get bigger. Card was great. This is it's about a 4 out of 5 in limited. You have to have the cards to make it work. But other than that, it's pretty good. Pretty good card all around.
Seems solid. Definitely a role player. Might see some play in standard, as you know. I mean, yeah, once again, I don't know if an Aristocrat deck is really the thing to be right now, but we'll see. But then Yini's expertise, however, is extremely good in my opinion. 2 colorless, 2 black, sorcery. All creatures get -3/-3 until end of turn. You may cast a card with current mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. I mean, sweepers in black are great, and then casting stuff for free is also great.
Great all around.
Yeah.
Obvious standard hit. This in modern, no. I don't think so.
People really want it, though, with Ancestral Vision.
Yeah, I can see it. With, you know, all these expertises like Ancestral Vision and that whole cycle of cards gets pretty insane. Like, restore balance out of your hand is great when you just draw it. But still not sold on it. I mean, it's still a 4-mana card. the 4-mana card you wanted to play that has this effect anyways is Knight of Souls Betrayal from Kamigawa, because it's just an enchantment that just sits on the field and keeps everything dead that's relevant. Glistener Elves, Signal Pests, Arcbound Ravagers never resolve, etc., etc.
True, but that doesn't draw you three cards.
It does. Okay, the argument of drawing three cards is there, but you could say that about any of these dumb cards.
I know.
I'm not buying this at 4-mana for Modern or Legacy.
Gotcha. Once again, I think it's standard playable, and it's definitely limited playable.
Yep.
All right, now we got Midnight Entourage. 2 colorless, 2 black. Creature Aetherborn Rogue. It's a 3/3. Other Aetherborn you control get +1/+1. And whenever it or another Aetherborn you control dies, you draw a card and lose a life. This is a very interesting effect on a lord. You know, it's your standard lord, but then it adds it replaces itself by drawing a card, and then also, if other things get killed, draws you more cards.
This along Zulaport Cutthroat at least keeps you from ever actually losing life on the draw of card effect, and the effect does stack, so the second one lets you draw 2 cards per death.
True. I guess you do have to be careful if you have a bunch of these and you get fumigated, you could die.
Yeah. You got to use a little intelligence there when actually playing them, of course. It's nice to see an actual lord come back to standard, not a lord that requires work. This is just a lord that requires you to make sure you don't kill yourself on a sweeper.
Yeah, the only problem is, especially with 2-block sets now, they're just not a quantity of Aetherborn, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's an Aetherborn... I don't think there's an Aetherborn tribal deck that exists that's good enough for this.
Yeah, which is why I think they felt, you know, they were free to print a lord, because there's just not enough.
It couldn't have been a merfolk.
I mean, look at how many quote-unquote lords vampires got, and they still can't make it.
Nah, well, none of them are actually good lords. That's the problem. I mean, none of them just say other vampires get +1/+1. They don't want vampires to be that big and modern. I mean, merfolk are already doing that because they got a 100 of them that say other merfolk get +1/+1. I don't think they want that anymore. But yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Safe to bring this in. There ain't enough Aetherborn to make it worth it.
And we're not going to see Aetherborn again for a while, probably.
Probably not.
And then we got Battle at the Bridge, which is our black X improvised card. It's X and black sorcery improvised. Target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn. You gain X life. This is a sweet control card.
Yeah, this is great. Gets, you know, like we mentioned earlier with the with Sram's expertise, this is going to get you at least -3/-3 guaranteed.
And gain 3 life, don't forget.
Yeah, you get your gain 3 life. It's an interesting take on a Sphinx's Revelation effect without being so great as Sphinx's Revelation, but card's strong. I'm behind.
Yeah, I mean, Fireball is not the same as drawing 8 cards.
I wish this could actually target players.
But I do.
That would have been really good had it been able to target a player and you gain life that way. But obviously, that's too good.
I mean, that's what black usually has, you know, drain life and those kinds of cards.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for the day they make a drain life that also kills creatures. For standard again. It's been a while since we've seen one of those.
Yeah. I mean, this is almost... And -X/-X is irrelevant, especially with, Ihini and indestructible stuff running around.
Yeah, -X/-X, best way to kill things, in my opinion. This is great.
All right, then we got Glintsleeve Siphoner. 1 colorless, black. Creature Human Rogue. It's 2/1 with Menace. Whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, you get an energy. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may pay 2 energy. If you do, draw a card and lose a life. This thing's an interesting little Dark Confidant wannabe.
They keep printing these interesting Dark Confidant wannabes. None of them ever pan out.
I think this is the closest to playable that we've had lately.
How so?
There's a lot of decks that just make energy and don't use it, even though energy is a very leeching mechanic, but they still have extra energy laying around. Drawing extra cards is fun. And a 2/1 Menace body is not, you know, it's going to attack a couple times and get some value.
Okay.
So the getting energy on attack is, it'll actually produce energy at least twice.
So this is definitely better than Blood Scrivener, the vampire from Gatecrash that let you draw a card if your hand was empty or something like that.
And better than Asylum Visitor?
Yeah, definitely better than Asylum Visitor.
Like I said, I think it's the best of the bunch that we've had for a while. And if any one of them is going to see play, I think it's actually this one.
Okay.
And humans are an irrelevant creature type.
Woot, woot. Humans are awesome.
He's a tenant is still a thing.
White, black humans, here we come. Card advantage, you have it.
It's true. And make this a 3-2 for Athalia. Like, that's not the worst thing. Menace, you know?
Not the
worst
thing.
Push some damage.
All right, you've convinced me. I'm going to make white, black humans happen.
Okay.
Probably bad, but
I'm gonna It was what, like Collins last time they tried white black?
It's been a hot minute, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it was like Mardu Woe Reaper and all those, you know, the Warriors, the black white Warriors they tried.
And it actually performed well at like one Grand Prix.
Yeah, because Craig Wesco played it.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, he can play anything and it performs well.
Well, anything white creature based.
Yep, that's true. Bring on them hate bears, boys. Them dearth and taxes.
Next up is a bulk. Secret Salvage. Three colors, 2 black, sorcery, exile target non-land card from your graveyard. Search your library for any number of cards with the same name as that card. Reveal them, put them into your hand, shuffle your library.
Hey, don't take away my Hedron Alignment dream with this.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Blue-black control bad. Where I can do this is so bad. Don't do it.
Yeah, you'd rather just be playing Baral's Expertise of this man, or Jace Unraveler of Secrets, or Obnixilis, or anything not this.
I would rather be playing actual magic cards.
Right. I guess you can get cute with Eternal Scourge, but who cares?
I mean, as a one-of, in a deck, if you use this to, like, lose a Fatal Push and then find 3 more Fatal Pushes, that's fine. I don't know if it's what you want to be doing with 5 mana. Seems sweet, though.
Right. I mean, I guess there's potential there. You're like, oh, I want to... Like, if you stabilize the board, then you're just like, well, I'm going to exile this disallow, and I have 3 disallows now.
Yeah, basically. Like, ah, gotcha, guy. I'm going to win.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know.
Not too much, too stretch. I know, I'm trying to make a bad, bad card good.
Yep.
This has 0 play in limited, by the way.
Agreed.
This will not
do... You never have double copies.
This will not do anything. Unless you're the goofy guy that pulls, like, 5 of the 2/3 Menace common, then alright, you deserve to play this.
Nah, not even. Alright, on to red.
Woo.
We got Lightning Runner. 3 colorless, 2 red, mythic, creature, human, warrior, 2/2. With double strike and haste. Whenever it attacks, you get 2 energy. Then you may pay some obscure amount because they don't put a
2/4.
If you pay
6.
Is it 8?
8. 8 it is. Thank you, Wizards, for not putting a
See, like, this is what upsets me. Number. Because right above it, it says get 2, and it clearly says 2 energy counters, but then it doesn't have the parentheses for pay, wherein it's actually hard to count.
Yeah, now I have to count out wingdings. You know, they should just put wingding number. So simple.
I agree. Anyway, if you pay, untap all your creatures, you get another combat. Limited bomb.
Yes.
Probably not standard, and Commander will play it.
Commander guys love this effect. This is a very good take on the card Savage Beating. And on a 2/2 double striker, it's even better. So that's fine.
And haste.
Limited commander. Oh, yeah, haste. Don't forget about haste. Limited, great. Commander, great. I don't see this in constructed.
Nope. Moving on. We got Karzev, Skyship Raider. 1 colorless, 1 red, legendary creature, human pirate. Ooh, pirate's coming back.
Armady.
So it's a 1/3 first strike menace. Whenever it attacks, you create a legendary 2/1 red monkey creature named Ragavan that is tapped and attacking, and then exile at end of combat.
So, 2 things we went over with this card before. Nothing really card related. This is like the fifth legendary token ever created.
Yeah.
That actually has its own copy. Like, Stang doesn't have a copy. There's not a Stang token out there. It needs to be made, Wizards. And I'm pretty sure the token goes for more than the card itself.
Probably. I mean, 1-3 minutes is fine. They're probably not going to block it, because why would you? And making a 2-1's okay, but even that's not really that aggressive. And it exiles, so you can't even like put any counters on it and keep them. I wish it didn't exile. It's a legendary token, so you can keep it around, because it legend rule, you know?
Like, I see where they're trying to make this aggressive. 3 power for 2 mana with four toughness behind it as well. It's awkwardly spread out. I'm not completely into this.
Yeah, I think the monkey needed an ability to, like, either first strike or menace or something. Then it would have been fine. But the fact that he just, like, you don't care about Karazhev because it's only 1 power, so, like, it's always going to attack and not get blocked. And then the monkey's going to get eaten alive by a blocker.
Every time. I think the monkey should add, like, loot on it if it dealt combat damage or something like that. That would have been fine.
Something.
Not just 2-1 leave.
Yeah. Once again, like, there's not a whole lot of, like, if a creature enters the battlefield effects or anything, so I guess if you want to get cute, you can run the artifact creature named Monkey. Because it is a monkey creature, so it'll get a counter when it enters the battlefield, but that's bad.
Ha, that's terrible. There's better uses for that card. We'll talk about it in a bit.
Yeah, but, like, there's not a use for Karazhev.
Nope, no
use for
this.
But Karazhev's expertise, however,
great uses for this.
Yeah, 1 colorless, 2 red sorcery. Gain control of target creature or vehicle until turn. Untap it. It gains haste until end of turn. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. So this is the cheapest of the expertise cycle. Therefore, at least that makes it the most playable for being able to cheat 0-costed things in other formats, you know, Ancestral Vision, or even I've even seen people talking about this in Living End to get the ones that get remanded into your hand out of your hand.
Oh, that's great. I did not think about that. That's way better than Yeheni's expertise. So,
yeah,
I'm behind that. This might actually be the one that sees the modern play.
Yeah. I mean, Threaten's always good, too. So as far as, like, standard, it'll always, Threaten always sees sideboard play.
Always does. If there's a red X aggro deck, this card will be in it.
Yeah, plus, not only it's Threaten, plus something else, plus, like, Incendiary Flow to make sure you get them dead.
Ooh, get them dead good.
Yeah. So now I think this card's highly playable.
Yes.
Definitely playable and limited.
Yes, definitely playable and limited. Always 1 Threaten effect is fine. 2 is excessive.
Yeah, I wouldn't run 2, but also this is rare, so you're probably not going to have 2 anyway.
True.
And also, that works pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is. She's piloting a ship. Or something.
She's
think
all
it's a
like,
sky
charge.
She's all R-matey.
Eh. Anyway. We got the other red mythic, Indomitable Creativity. X, 3 red, sorcery. Destroy X target artifacts and or creatures. For each permanent destroyed this way, its controller reveals cards from the top of his or her library until an artifact or creature card is revealed and exiles that card. Those players put the exile card in the battlefield and shuffle their libraries.
Yeah, nice warp world.
Yeah, actually, the thing to note about this is it does not say it has to be the same type. So you can destroy an artifact and hit a creature or vice versa.
Nice. So it's more like, see, it's going to be harder to streamline your deck around this, but in, like, I don't know, Brea EDH, this gets completely ridiculous because of all the dumb things you run. So, Sweeten Commander. Standard Constructed, no. Yes, probably not, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, here's what I was thinking, that you could get cheeky with this.
All right.
I guess it wouldn't really work the way I want it to.
Yeah, at least spill your feelings here. I'm interested.
Spitballing
now.
Like Metalwork Colossus, because you can just exile like a Prophetic Prism and then potentially just put a Metalwork Colossus in play.
All right, sure. I'm not mad at you for saying it. Yeah, way too cheeky. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But unplayable in limited, I think.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It is. It's straight up destroy in red, which doesn't get very often. So, like, if they play their limited bomb, say they hit you with their improvised demon, and then for 4 mana you destroy it, and they get a random limited card,
which should be worse than that. Okay, I take it back. This has a place in limited.
Yeah. Especially if you can just, like, you get X high and you destroy everything they haven't played, they get a whole new board that's probably worse.
Could this have not just costed just, like, at least 2 red and X? Like, could this have just been Chaos Warp and bonus? Like, that'd have been completely fine. It's not like you can completely break this because it doesn't care about card type. You can't streamline your deck into it.
Right. Yeah, you can't cheat. That's what I was thinking, because I'm like, oh, you can go from artifact to creature, and I'm like, oh, if you hit any other artifacts in the way, it gets those. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just, you might get it, you might not.
Yeah. I think it does cost 1 mana too much. Or 1 colored mana, I should say, too much.
Yeah, like 2 red and X, I think this would have been completely fine.
Yep. How about 2X in red, which is our next card, Release the Gremlins. That's a segue, Jerry.
Oh, yes. I caught your segue.
All right, this card's a sorcery. Destroy X target artifacts, create X22 red gremlin creature tokens.
This card is great. At 3 mana, it destroys an artifact, gets you a gremlin. That is worth it. I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with this card. However, the thing I'm not okay with is this is actually the cheapest way to destroy an artifact in red, and that I'm not okay with.
That is awkward. The fact that there is no shatter in this set. Like, what are we doing right now, Wizards? No shatter, right. No smelt, nothing. This is what we get. And it's
no smash.
Rare. And it's on a rare. I mean, come on, guys.
Like, right.
This is arguably worse than Smash to Smithereens in most cases. Most cases.
Oh, yeah, way worse. I want Smash. Like, my red-black aggro deck wants Smash to Smithereens, and I don't have it, and I'm really upset. I don't even have shatter.
At least this has costed enough to where you can destroy an Aetherworks Marvel. Fine, we'll take it. Take what we can get.
Yeah, but they're going to get activation first, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole lot of do they have the energy, do they not have the energy, et cetera, et cetera. At least we have a destroy artifact effect. I can't get too mad at this. Once you start paying...
And it is upside, so...
Yeah, once you start paying 7+ mana, now you're creating a board state that just gets dumb.
Yeah. Provided they have enough artifacts to destroy.
Yes, provided that you just...
More times than not, this is going to be a 3-mana spell just because they have 1 artifact. They're going to have, like, a Heart of Kieran or, like, a Sky Sovereign or something that you want to kill.
This almost feels very sweet if you, like, pay 5, destroy 2 artifacts, and then you have, like, 2 spare mana to, like... what's it called again? Surgeon, the... Surgeon Goblin that gives them 1-0 in haste. Like, that'd be pretty... That's pretty sweet.
Oh, Reckless Bushwhacker?
That's it, Reckless Bushwhacker. That seems good.
Sure.
Just finding good places for it.
Yeah.
Like, again, this is another Commander rare that blows up a bunch of artifacts, so thanks, Wizards. Keep screwing my Commander deck out.
So, in conclusion, I actually think it's playable in this limited. There's enough artifacts running around. You'll play this in the...
You'll play it every time.
I don't know. It may or may not be first pickable. That's yet to be determined. I haven't drafted yet, so I don't know about that. If it's in your seal pool, you're going to play it. Constructed, sideboard material. And that's... It's just 2 mana intensive for other formats.
That draft question's actually a tough one. Like, there's enough artifacts to do it, but there's also enough non-artifacts to play a non-artifact deck, and this is the only destroy artifact effect we have in the format that's a rare or lower. Like, I think you have to take this? I don't know, man. Tough one.
Yeah. All right, moving on to another card that is bad, but has one of my favorite names. And Free Jam Regent.
So good.
Like, I just want this to be Freebird. Like,
so hilarious. So great. The name.
Yeah. It's 4 colorless, 2 red, creature dragon, 4/4 flyer with improvise, so you can pay for its mana cost with artifacts. And it has pay 1 and a red, and it gets +2/+0 until end of turn. So a bigger fire breathing than most Shivan Dragons have, and it can be cheaper than Shivan Dragon.
Yep.
Shivan Dragon hasn't been playable in years, and I don't think this one will be either.
I agree with you mostly. There is a point I want to bring out, though. The last time we had a Shivan Dragon with a cost-reduced mana cost, it did see play in Standard. That was Molten Steel Dragon from New Phyrexia. Costed 4 and 2 Phyrexian Red for a 4/4.
Yeah, but that's Phyrexian mana. That's a whole other issue.
I get that. I 100% agree. But if I'm just paying 4 for this and tapping 2 arbitrary artifacts that are doing other things, this could be playable. I'm not mad at a 4/4 flyer for 4. I don't think the deck is there for it, but hey.
No.
We've seen worse Shivan Dragons ever printed. This is erring on the side closer to playable.
I don't know. We'll see. That one's up. You definitely play in limited for sure though.
Every time. 4/4 flyer
you snap
for 6
this guy off. Yeah, and then with a fire breathing, like you snap this off every time.
Yep, just like Shivan Dragon, snap it in limited.
Yep, or Wrathy Dragon. That was my favorite limited.
No, oh, that was a great limited.
Yeah.
That's for another talk, Wrathy
Dragon will mess somebody up.
Yeah, someone's day's gonna get ruined.
Yeah. Then we got Pia's Revolution. 2 colorless and a red for an enchantment. Whenever a non-token artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to your hand unless your target opponent has Pia's Revolution. Deal 3 damage to him or her. Just not good.
Punisher mechanics suck. Not good in limited.
Yep.
Not good in commander. Not good in constructed. Yep. This card's just not good. Stop it, Watsy.
I guarantee it's not going to work the way you want it to. So.
Because Punisher mechanics never do.
It's true. The only one that does work out is still Combustible Gearhulk.
Yeah, that's the one that does work out. Is both those actually hurt a ton.
Yeah. Moving on, Quicksmith Rebel, another in these Quicksmith family here. 3 colorless and a red for a creature human artificer as a 3/2 body. When it enters the battlefield, target artifact gets tap, deal 2 to target creature or player.
Limited, yes. Every time. This is a slightly toughened down hill giant with a shock effect, which is strong. Shocking is a very strong thing. This could kill something with 5 toughness. I mean, 5 toughness on its own. That's good.
It's true.
Or even bigger, if you stick it on like an artifact creature, like, you know, a 2-power artifact creature, now you're killing something with 7 toughness. I'm behind that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely limited playable. Once again, too slow for a format beyond limited or sealed.
Yeah, too slow and constructed. Hill giants haven't been good in decades. Literally, and giving it a shock stick isn't great either.
Yep. So and now we're moving on to green.
Actually, I'm gonna cut you off right there. We're gonna go ahead and pause it here, and we will do green multicolor and artifacts in the next video. Sound good to you?
Sure.
All right. See y'all in the next video.